Why is it having real ingredients in food products a selling point? Why is TikTok ruining all the freaking progress we made on getting people to take horizontal videos? When I clean out my vacuum cleaner, do I become a vacuum cleaner? All these questions and more on the Abnormal Matters podcast.
I like your little jab TikTok.
I feel personally attacked.
You fucking made you stress.
I always film this way. Always this way.
Always?
Yes. Everything.
You never went sideways?
No. There's no point.
Why?
Because then whenever you fucking flip it and you want to watch it horizontally, it looks like shit. You can't see anything.
We made so much progress.
You're saying.
He's part of the problem.
No. Everything that I film for my TikTok, which I'm not going to shout myself out because that's fucked, but on my own TikTok, any little edits, any, you guys know I film stupid little shit and just put it on Facebook all the time for myself. I've never horizontally.
What about that skateboard one?
All of it vertical.
Oh.
All of it.
I don't think I remember. Yeah. Well, all you're part of the problem.
Wow.
This.
Sorry, I'm so old, I don't even know how to use TikTok.
You know what the worst is, though? Is when somebody starts recording horizontal.
And then they turn it.
And then they turn it.
Oh, this makes me sick.
Or the asshole that doesn't have, like, a gimbal or anything like that. And it's just, like, so jittery that you're just sitting there getting motion sickness while you're trying to watch the damn video. And you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, killing like me. My son, whenever he's trying to do a recording or something.
Or here, or here, or here, or here.
I just want to put, like, Michael Scott in the background.
Parkour! Parkour! So you buy yourself a goddamn gimbal and get yourself a little tripod and do your videos the right way.
Or just get better at filming and just don't have the fucking shakes.
Yeah. Well, I can't say nothing. I get the shakes because lack of alcohol or cocaine, marijuana, quaaludes.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Well, this is episode 30.
Woo!
No, right?
30.
30.
30. Yes. Finally got there.
The episode we are doing this time around is the Philadelphia Experiment. It is a very interesting story, and we're going to dig into that. But, of course, we always want to bring you our science news of the week. Mr. Mark, you had it this week. What you got?
Yeah, I pulled it directly from sciencenews.org. So if anybody wants to read the actual whole story, it's on there. Big thing is, a helicopter just flew on Mars.
A helicopter?
Helicopter flew on Mars.
What?
So NASA's Ingenuity hovered for about 40 seconds above the red planet's surface, marking the first flight of a spacecraft on another planet.
Damn.
That's cool as shit.
Yeah.
It's a drone, but I mean, still, it's a drone helicopter.
Yeah.
So in the wee hours of on April 19th, the helicopter spun its carbon fiber rotor blades up and lifted itself into the thin Martian air. It rose about 3 meters above the ground, pivoted to look at NASA's Perseverance rover, took a picture, and settled back down to the ground.
Fuck, what's a meter again to feet?
Like 3 feet.
Three? Okay.
Just call it a yard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Very close.
Not exactly, but it's close enough to...
So like 9 feet.
Yeah.
Give or take.
9 feet in there. All right.
So pretty solid.
Yeah.
So
the flight was originally scheduled for April 11th, but it was delayed to update the helicopter's software after a test of the rotor blade showed problems switching from pre-flight to flight mode. That's got to be a horrible, horrible download speed, upload speed for updating sure. software
right.
to Mars.
Right.
I thought I'd bitch when Xbox or something else was taking, you know, a day and a half to update. It's like, God.
Oh, fuck. Like yours the other day?
Oh, it was horrible.
He was like, yeah, I'm going to download it a day later.
Yeah.
It's at 28%.
Still downloading.
That's Spectrum for you folks. Fuck them. Go to WoW.
And WoW, we will accept sponsorships.
Yes. Absolutely.
And all the free shit you want to give us.
Also, Blue Yeti mics. You know, if you guys want to help us out a little bit, we exclusively use your shit and nobody else's. I got one at home for myself. Ian's got two of them. Mark, we're going to get you one.
Sure.
I don't even know why, but every time I hear WoW Cable, I just hear Christopher walking in my head. Like,
wow.
Wow.
Anytime the truck goes by, it just, wow, it just goes in my head.
Well, they after doing a reboot, which that's got to be scary too.
Yeah.
kind of, it's hard to get a network engineer up on that thing to make sure that everything comes back up right. A high-speed spin test suggested the ship was likely to work, so they set the flight for April 19th. The first ever flight was a test of technology, basically. They're not doing any, like, scientist kind of stuff with this.
So just making sure it works.
They're just trying to see if they can get a vehicle to fly on the Mars. The big thing, though, is future aerial vehicles on Mars could help rovers or human astronauts scout safe paths through the landscape or tricky terrain.
Yeah.
Even though Mars gravity is only about one-third of Earth's, the air density is about 1% that at sea level on Earth also. So it's difficult for the blades to push against that air just to get off the ground. Another way to think about it, as they're saying here, is that the air is thinner on Mars than it is at 3 times the height of Mount Everest.
Shit. Damn.
The final version of Ingenuity is light. It's about 1.8 kilograms. I don't know what that is in pounds. You have to do the math. Just Google it. Its blades are about 1.2 meters in a wingspan. So looking about 3-4 feet. And it rotates at 2,400 rotations per minute.
It's getting it.
Oh, it's got to get it.
Yeah.
Be able to get that push.
Getting it.
So, yeah, and so it rotates actually faster than anything on Earth.
That thing took
it's 2,400. Sorry, it's 2,400 revolutions per minute faster than anything it has to spin on Earth just for it to fly.
You guys seen those little drones? The quick ones, like as soon as they hit them, they're just like,
yeah.
How big was this, Mark? Like the craft itself, does it say?
No, it just told me it was 1.8 kilograms.
Okay.
And its blades are almost 4 feet. So I'm going to guess it's probably half, well, no, maybe a quarter of that for the weight to thrust to weight. So maybe about a foot, square foot.
You said it's like a drone, right?
It's a drone.
Yeah, most drones are square.
So I want to say probably a square foot.
Yeah. That's still killer, though.
Some big ass propellers.
Yeah. So, and Ingenuity had to pilot itself through the flight. That's partially because of the communication delay between Mars and Earth. So, Mars is far enough away from Earth that light signals take about 15 minutes to travel between the two planets. So, any correction you were trying to make as you're flying would be a 15-minute delay. So, yeah, buried right inside of a mountain.
Yeah. I was thinking, oh, wait, go back. But Mark's just like full on into the mountain.
And then, of course, you know, that air's so thin, so correcting anything, too, would really get
that
to screw you up. So.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool that they were actually able to fly an object on Mars.
That's cool.
So future vehicles could be built to handle it now that they're figuring out the air density and science and everything they need for lift and thrust out there.
That's
so
crazy. That's huge. Cool.
Amazon, I mean, fuck, here, Amazon's trying to...
The drone delivery?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. If that happens, I'm moving somewhere where there's not shit for signal of any kind.
They're trying to get their drones to hold at least like 30 pounds or something like that. These drones have got to be huge, or they got to have fucking giant propellers like you were saying.
There's no way they're going to be able to get that.
At least up to 30 pounds.
That's what they're trying to get to. Right in the middle of your front yard. Like,
can you imagine how much of a shit show that's going to be between the FAA and the, what is it, is it FCC that does the broadcasting?
Yeah.
How much of a shit show that's going to be?
Think about places like close to the airport.
Well, anywhere.
Just anywhere.
Anywhere.
Think about if they're flying all these drones, just think about how much air traffic they're going to pollute our air with.
Oh, so much.
Like, you know, just flying over each other and that kind
of
shit.
And then the radio signals to each one of those vehicles, too, to make sure that they're on course and...
You got Cletus down in fucking Florida who's going to be looking at it like skeet.
Oh, dude, that's dove hunting.
Like, have you ever heard of garage doors opening?
Yeah.
Because of airplanes?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Because of their radio frequencies and that kind of stuff, the megahertz sometimes will activate garage doors.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like near airports and that kind of stuff when they're coming in.
So I'm going to say that has happened to me. I'm going to just say that that's happened to me so I don't look like a dickhead for leaving my garage door open before I go to work.
Yeah.
I do live by an airport, too. There's an airport in Delaware where I live.
It's happened.
That's fucked up. So if somebody breaks into my fucking house, does that mean I can claim it? Because some asshole flew too close to my house?
Good luck suing United on that one.
Yeah.
Fuck United. It's the worst flight I've ever been on.
You obviously haven't flown U.S. Scare.
U.S. Scare? No. Delta is the way to go.
It's like, don't worry, these planes are designed to fly on one fucking engine. Like, yeah, that's why they put three on the motherfucker.
Just in case. All right. Good science news.
Yes, sir.
Let's get into this. The Philadelphia experiment. So, I mean, you want me to do a little synop real quick?
I was going
to
do it.
I will tell you, though, there is a good rabbit hole to go down. There's a really good, if you're a history buff, if you look this up on YouTube and try to just type in, like, Philadelphia experiment, you start getting Philadelphia, the experiment. It's the history of Philadelphia from 16 whatever all the way to now.
Oh, really?
And it's actually pretty cool.
I have to do another episode just on Philadelphia.
I got caught in the rabbit hole of it. I was like, okay, I'll watch the next episode. Okay, I'll watch the next one. Binge watch
3 hours. Mark knows everything about Philly now. Everything.
Well, I was talking to my mom earlier, and she was like, "You doing the podcast tonight?" I was like, "Yeah." She said, "What's it on tonight?" The Philadelphia Experiment. She was like, "That's not that odd." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She was like, "The movie with Tom Hanks." I was like, "No, mom,
not Philadelphia."
No.
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Well, the Philadelphia Experiment is an alleged military experiment supposed to have been carried out by the U.S. Navy at the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, of the United States. It was sometime around October 28th of 1943. The U.S. Navy destroyer escort USS Eldridge was claimed to have rendered invisible or cloaked to enemy devices for, how long was that?
I don't remember the timing.
15, 20 minutes?
Something.
It wasn't very long.
On July 22nd, they claim also that they actually turned it on for the first time and just to test it. And there was like a blue aura.
The Manta Project?
No.
Okay.
This is July 22nd before the apparent teleportation of it, where they just disappeared and came back. But they said, 1943, it appeared in Norfolk, Virginia, and then reappeared back in Philly. You can actually drive, sail to Norfolk pretty quickly in the same day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the entire destroyer disappeared in a flash of, like, green-blue light. And as you were saying, it appeared and reappeared. Several sailors were hospitalized after the experiment, according to those who had attempted to bring the story to light. A few died, others became deranged, and crew members were also allegedly subjected to brainwashing to maintain secrecy about the experiment. There was also documents reporting that classified military documents, we don't know, but they were saying that some of the crew were actually melded
into the ship
bulk
itself.
Of the ship.
Yeah.
Like you just see an arm sticking out with part of a face and that kind of stuff coming out of the wall.
Kind of like you're going through a portal and then all of a sudden, the portal closes and boom, you're right there and stuck in a wall.
Yeah.
The U.S. Navy also maintains that no such experiment was ever conducted, that the details of the story kind of contradict well-established facts about the USS Eldridge.
Also, the Office of the Naval Research had stated that they used that the use of force fields to make the ship and her crew invisible does not conform to known physical laws, obviously. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like you've stated before, like with invisible cloaking,
mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be able to see.
Yeah.
You know? ONR also claims that Dr. Albert Einstein's unified field theory was never completed. During 1943 and 1944, Einstein was a part-time consultant with the Navy's Bureau of Ordnance undertaking theoretical research on explosives and explosions. So there was no indication that Einstein was involved in research relevant to invisibility and teleportation, but they were actually, some of the reports were stating that they were trying an experiment. And how much hearsay is there that the ship disappeared and it reappeared, but they were trying to fuck with the magnetic field of the actual ship, so that way they could go undetected with mines and what are they, magnetic mines?
Magnetic mines, yeah. So there was a gentleman named Ed Dudgeon who later said that, yes, he was a witness to experiments on the USS Eldridge, but he said what it was is they wrapped electromagnetic wire around the ship for a degaussing effect, and that would make them invisible to enemy radar.
Right.
And magnetic mines. But if that's, you know, if there's people, you know, back then it's World War II, there's spies everywhere, people intercepting communications. Of course, if you're talking about being invisible, some people might have, or other countries, mistook it and thought we were actually trying to build something actually invisible.
Right.
And not just invisible to their minds. But
and they had witnesses, like normal civilians sitting there at the harbor.
Yeah.
So they had witnesses to it.
The unified field theory that you're talking about too, that's the relation between particles. So that's the electromagnetic, gravitational, okay. And weak and strong forces that encompasses. But I mean, unified field theory is so complex. There's no way we could explain it on this podcast.
Yeah. You want a three-parter?
Yeah. I'm going to do one part just on Einstein's theory first and then explaining how we've gotten so far. But then also ship's logs and other sailors aboard the actual Eldridge said they were never in Philadelphia on these days when all this took place. They said they were in Brooklyn, and then they were off in like Patagonia or some other place far away. So there's no way it could have taken place.
There were some reports of some other unspecified researchers thought that some version of this would enable like a large electrical generators to kind of bend light, causing refraction around the U.S. Eldridge. Just and it would make it completely invisible. I know that was a theory as well.
Yeah, the only problem with that is you'd have to have such an electromagnetic force to bend light that it would probably just implode the ship or rip it apart.
Or a gravity,
yeah,
to be able to bend light.
I mean, that's so much. We're talking like black hole level crap.
Right. Let's talk about this David Blaine fucking vanishing trick, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah. Anytime I do David Blaine, I got David Blaine.
And because it doesn't transfer very well on podcast, Ian is sitting here with both his hands just flashing in front of his face going,
yes. Jazz hands. They're always good. It makes everything better. On Wednesdays.
Especially on Wednesdays. Get some jazz hands going.
But the Eldridge itself, so it was ordered in 1942. It was named after John Eldridge Jr. I just have a little bit of stats of it. So it was actually launched in 25th of July, 1943. It was decommissioned in 1946, and its fate actually was, it was sold to Greece in 1951 for all of its parts. It just got
scrapped.
It was a Cannon class destroyer escort, and its length was 306 feet. The beam of it, 36 feet, 10 inches. The draft, blah, blah, blah. This thing had four GM mod 16278A diesel engines.
Dang.
It could, it had a diesel electric transmission four times on the transmissions. And its range on shooting, or I'm sorry, its range at full capacity, not shooting, sorry, was 10,800 nautical miles if it was fully fueled. This thing could get it and keep going. It had 15 officers and 201 enlisted on it. Damn. Yeah, so it was a big boy.
Damn, boy!
Yeah. So if you're talking about like a magical trick to make that disappear, that's a fucking feat. 306 feet long.
That's a big ship.
Yeah.
So we just made a football stadium disappear.
Right. Fuck, man. I'm trying to picture like Lambeau Field just disappearing. That's insane.
Yeah, I picture that every season when football starts to
So you had, let's talk a little bit about the man behind the myth. Had some stuff on Carl.
Mr. Jessup?
Yeah. Carl and also Jessup.
Yeah, Mr. Jessup's the one that was Carl was talking to all the time.
Yeah. So I have that. Jessup received two letters from someone who identified himself as Carl M. Allen and another correspondence who claimed to have witnessed a secret World War II experiment at the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard. In this experiment, Allen claimed the destroyer escort U.S. Eldridge was rendered invisible, teleported to New York, teleported to another dimension where it encountered aliens, and teleported through time, resulting in deaths of several sailors, which some of whom were fused to the ship's hull. Jessup dismayed Allen as a crackpot. In early 1957, Jessup was contracted by the ONR, or the Office Naval Research, in Washington, D.C., who had received a folder containing a copy of the cast named Happy Easter.
Well, the weird thing, too, is about this Jessup guy is he was a writer. He was an astronomer, and he wrote a bunch of books. He wrote a bunch of UFO books in the 1950s. One of them did okay, and he thought he would be able to be, like, an actual writer. And the rest of them just flopped. So his wife left him. And then...
You about to tell me a country song?
Yep.
His dog died?
This guy, Carl Allen, wrote him over the whole time that Carl Allen was basically pestering him. Carl Allen wrote him 50 letters, pestering the hell out of him. And eventually, like you said, the Navy Office of Research approached Jessup and said they received a weird package of one of his books along, also in there. So it was actually one of his UFO books. And inside were scribblings of extraterrestrial tech and ramblings of unified theory. And it looks like, you know, they said they, it looked like Carl Allen sent it. And it looked like three people wrote the notes in the book and maybe one alien.
All different handwriting.
Yeah. All this like crap drove Morris Jessup nuts. He ended up killing himself in a car with a hose attached to his exhaust a day after he called a friend to say he had info on the experiment.
Homicide. There was only one name given, I think. Wasn't it Jimmy? Was one of the names that was given through there were like you were saying, there were like notations in this book in the margins. Like you'd said, it looked like it had been notated by three different people. The name Jimmy was given or gave.
Jimmy or Jimmy?
Jimmy.
Okay.
J-E-M-I. God damn, I don't know why I can't fucking say this. The ONR labeled the other two individuals Mr. A and Mr. B. Not really giving them an identity of a name.
I heard something about they made a whole bunch of copies.
Yeah, the Navy published 127 copies with the notes in it. So this plus the stress of Jessup's wife leaving him and...
Tractor broke down.
Allen screwing him over, yeah, and dog died, you know... Pickup truck broke down. He, you know, ran out of Bush Light and ended up off himself.
Browns didn't make the playoffs.
Hey, shut up. We made the playoffs. Damn it, we're going to have a hell of a defense this year, too. So, Allen lived into the 1990s, and he later admitted it was a hoax. And then recanted it and said, no, it was all true.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I kind of got a little bit of my notes where he claimed that he saw the Eldridge. He claimed that he saw the Eldridge disappear from the Philadelphia Naval Yard, and he further insisted that the United States military had conducted what he called the Philadelphia Experiment and was trying to cover it up.
Did you get the name that he was the pen name that he was running off of under Jessup? What was that? It was Carl. What was it?
Carl Miguel Allen.
Alenda or something like that.
A-L-L-E-N-D-E.
Yeah, Alenda. Alenda, I think they say that's how it's pronounced. So he was doing
Spanish.
Yeah, he made up a name. It's a little pen name.
In the book, others were referred to as gypsies. I thought that was strange when I read that. But they weren't... I'm not trying to use under the term. That word can be looked at as in a very derogatory way, saying gypsies. But it was discussed as two different types of people. Like we had earthly people, and then there was the people living in outer space.
The gypsies.
Yeah. Their text contained non-standard use of capitalization, incorrect punctuation, and detailed a lengthy discussion of the various elements depicted by Jessup and assumptions in the book.
We have alien gypsies now.
Alien gypsies. Those who have viewed the document think that the same person possibly may have notated all that stuff, but it's not confirmed.
Yeah.
Any of the notations were done by Jessup himself. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of this with... I mean,
the Navy believes Carl Allen did all of it. And that he just wrote all this in Jessup's book.
Right.
And, you know, just trying to... Supposedly he was just a... What do you want to call it? A
crackpot?
Well, a crackpot, but he also... he craved attention. He was a publicity whore.
Attention-getter, yeah.
Yeah, just anything to get attention.
I mean, it is a great story. It's a great conspiracy.
Yeah.
You had something about the guys time traveling, right?
Yeah. I'm going to butcher this name.
Do it.
Bielek. B-I-E-L-E-K.
Bielek?
Bielek, I think.
Bielek?
Bielek-er.
Bieleks!
But, so there was a movie that came out in the 1980s.
It's a classic. Have you watched
The Philadelphia Experience. I've seen parts of it.
I started to watch it, and I was like, no. I'm just going to do my research instead.
That is a classic, corny 80s movie, yeah. Man.
It's
down to the woe hair for the women. You know, like the big poofy hair. Oh, it's great.
Nothing can be worse than The Breakfast Club, so I'll give it a watch.
It reminds me a little bit of Final Countdown.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool movie. I mean, it's a cool movie. I don't care how corny it is. So, anyway, this Al Bielek.
Bielek, do it.
Do it.
He's dead. He can't sue me.
Wow.
Wow. He said, after watching the movie, it sparked repressed memories that came back to him.
What? He's trying to, like, do an analogy, like, somebody that went through World War II and then sat in Saving Private Ryan, that kind of like...
Yeah.
Like, people walked out from that movie, from Saving Private Ryan, some of the veterans and actors that were in it, because they were like, that was too real.
Oh, such a good movie.
But yeah, that's what he's trying to...
Yeah, he's trying to say the same thing happened. So, he claims his first memory came at a Christmas party when he was just 9 months old. And he found he was able to fully understand the adults talking in the room around him. And growing up, he was known as a walking encyclopedia.
Okay.
So, apparently something happened to him that all of a sudden, you know, he can understand at 9 months old. He has the brain of an adult. He also claims that he was just a lowly naval officer serving on the Eldridge in 1943. In August of 13th, to be exact, he said him and his brother were subject to some odd happenings aboard the ship.
Sexually? we are talking about semen.
No, it's not Wednesday, we're not talking about semen. His claim is that they turned on the device and some crap was going on, and so him and his brother jumped to safety off the ship. When they jumped off the ship, they didn't hit water. They hit, like, clouds or something like that. And then they landed in the year 2137. So the only thing I can equate it to is if anybody's watched, spoiler alert, any of the Thor movies, when Ragnarok, when they're going down the Rainbow Bridge, mm-hmm. fighting Hela, and all of a sudden they get knocked out of the Rainbow Bridge and then end up in a different world.
Right.
So that's what it's like sounding like to me that it's equating it to.
Hmm.
But while they were in 2137, Ballicker was treated for radiation injuries through a highly advanced series of treatments that relied on vibration and light.
Vibration on Ballicker?
Mm-hmm. Hey, can't pronounce the name. It's going to get ugly.
If we can't pronounce your name, you're going to get what we give you, is all we're saying.
He said the only entertainment in the hospital was solely education and news programming, and that's the only choice on TV in the world.
Okay, rewind. So he's in the future now.
He's in 2137.
And he's in a hospital.
He's in a hospital being treated for radiation burns from traveling through time.
Sounds like authoritarianism as far as what they're showing on TV, educational and news only. Well, sounds like propaganda bullshit.
What's kind of weird is this part could actually happen. He discovered while he was in 2137 that geographical shifts had transformed the globe. So coastlines of every continent had changed dramatically. Florida had disappeared, except for the panhandle.
I could see that.
The Great Lakes were just one lake. And Atlanta was now 3 miles from the Atlantic Ocean.
Hot Atlanta.
And the whole South and East Coast is gone. So water levels rise.
Yeah, that's possible.
And then you could get an inland sea in the middle of the United States where the Mississippi River is.
Where all the glaciers are coming down from the north and melting, mm-hmm. or just all the water from the north.
Where it splits the Mississippi almost.
Like you were talking about with the lakes.
Yeah.
Where they all just, there. You can see them combining.
And I can even see him combining with Hudson Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, the levels, the elevation of the land is enough that, you could lose the South, or a lot of the South. You could lose a lot of the East Coast and the Appalachian Mountains are the only thing that's going to stop the water rising and coming in the rest of the way. But then all that water is going to come up through Louisiana and start filling up the Mississippi River and it's going to turn into an inland sea.
Sounds like the South is going to take a big fat L once again.
Yeah.
And not just the South, but like New York.
True.
New York would be gone. New Jersey. All that shit.
Joyzy.
Now, he also claims that the United States infrastructure had been completely destroyed.
It'd be gone.
It'd be gone.
The central government was a total thing of the past. Both Canada and the U.S. were gone. They were ruled more of like a martial law, local martial law. So, and then according to
reach for this guy.
According to Bialik, around 2005,
Bialik,
the United States and Europe had band together to fight a combined threat of China and Russia.
Sounds about right.
Well, they said that happened in 2005. It was going to happen in 2005. The resulting war killed billions of people, and the total population of the world would be only 300 million in 2137.
Which fits with what the Georgia Guidestones say where it should be under. Should be like, what is it, 250 to like 300, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Was it as high as 5 million? 500 million?
I think it was 500 million is what they said there. He said 300 million, but he said this happened in 2005, which didn't happen.
True.
But the same thing with what we were talking about with... What episode was that with the Georgia Guidestones? And we were talking about...
Agenda 21.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Well, from there, Ballick said he was sent forward to the year 2749. There he stayed for 2 years and it was transported back to 2137 to get his brother.
Okay, but how did he get there?
I don't know.
Is he just jumping randomly through the space-time continuum?
He's jumping.
I get it, like the Philadelphia experiment shot him there.
He's fucking nuts!
No, I'm trying to really follow this guy's story. If he got
this
shot.
This is the problem with this guy's story.
Because he was at the Philadelphia experiment and he got shot to
2137,
whatever you said?
2137.
Okay. So then he's getting hospitalized.
Yep.
They're treating this fool with because he has radiation poisoning from the time travel. What do you fucking do? Call like a Uber time travel thing to fucking get back to help his brother or something? Because
beam me up, Scotty.
Because if that future had the capability to go back, don't you think they would have fucked with shit? Go ahead.
So He claims that he was sent to 2749. Spent 2 years
2749.
There. 2749. Yeah. After the 2137, he went to 2749. Further in the future.
Okay.
And in 2749, the world had adapted technology to build floating cities.
Sweet.
Government of any kind was non-existent. Everything was run by AI, called this synthetic intelligence computer system that worked telepathically.
Six.
Damn.
He said that...
S-I-C-S, the six.
There were no wars.
Jesus.
He said there were no wars in 2749.
Well, no, because the AI will fucking rip your head off. Yep,
they were practically impossible. There were no military, no soldiers, no nothing of any kind. So, at this point, he's sent back to 2137 to pick up his brother. From there, the duo are transported to 1984 to meet a Dr. John von Neumann, who convinces the two to travel back to their original timeline in 1943.
What was he like?
In case you're lost there.
What was he like, a Doc Brown in 1985 yeah. style?
And they were sent there to stop the experiment from happening.
Oh my God.
The two men agreed and went back to do the job. So the way this timeline is sounding to me is he went to 2137, okay? Him, not his brother, got pulled in to 2749 by the super AI or something like that. The technology must have existed that transported up there so they could do crap to him.
Oh, so the 2700
people
saw the anomaly in 2137, pulled him.
Get through everything and then send him back to fix it and fix the timeline.
Well, that just makes sense right there.
But doesn't that contradict... There was a theory that we had spoken about. I don't know if we ever talked about it on the podcast. If young Jimi Hendrix never wrote Purple Haze, but old Jimi Hendrix went to young Jimi and taught him Purple Haze, who actually wrote Purple Haze?
Nobody.
Doesn't that kind of contradict, like, if...
Well, old Jimi couldn't write it because young Jimi didn't. It's a paradox.
Yeah. Doesn't that create a paradox?
But, well, no, because you're not taught... Because fucking ball liquor didn't create the Philadelphia experiment.
No. He was just in the
timeline. We're talking about creating things. Yeah. And that paradox.
That's creation of timelines. This is him just flowing through the timeline.
He was just along for the ride.
Yeah. So, after his time in the Navy, he completed his education in electronics. Soon he found himself contracted out to various military contractors who slowly found out what a whiz he was with technology. And they revealed
him... Ball liquor! Grab your solder!
They revealed him the U.S. military was actively involved in adapting alien technology and research on a psychic operation. And soon after, he was recruited for the Montauk Project.
Yes, the Montauk Project. And did you hear about that? Mm-mm. You got stuff on that?
I don't, but I'll let you go on to that after I get... After
Fuck, this. I didn't get anything on that.
Well, through... He got a job in California... And his importance to the Montauk Project was so great that he was given access to the super secret network of high-speed trains running under the country.
Nice.
This allowed him to work on government jobs and go back to his other job. And then, but of course, once the time tunnel was affected, then he could just teleport back and forth.
Oh, yeah. I will.
He just had to wait for that to happen.
Him at the security clearance to get into the super secret shit. They're like, no, no, no. We don't check that guy. That's ball liquor. He's good.
So he claims that he is that intelligent and also that he actually became the program director for physics on the Montauk Project. And eventually he even was able to afford first-rate business trips. And one time, on several occasions, he went to Mars. He also remembers several other trips where he took his teams to research stations in 100,000 BC and other planets to get canisters filled with light and dark energy, and then also to the year 6037.
Really quick before we dive too far into that, the Montauk Project story, it was a World War II experiment to elude Nazi radar, led to breakthrough accomplishments in mind control, time travel, interdimensional travel, contact with aliens. It even goes as far as saying that faking the Apollo missions.
Ooh.
It goes into that as well, so that might be something we might be able to dive into.
The Montauk
project. Yeah, possibly at a later time. So I digress, Mark, but I wanted to do that really quick.
Oh, yeah, perfect. The funny thing with this, too, is once Bilek went public,
Bilek,
with his adventures.
You know I'm going to put a sound effect of...
Oh, my God.
There.
For real?
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
More demonetized. So he says that the government disavowed him, and they don't even give him the dignity of calling him a kook. They simply let him lecture and walk around and discuss just all
let
this.
Him go.
And he also believes his real name is actually Edward Cameron, and that he's been living for more than 100 years because of the alien technology stuff. Future stuff that's happened to him. He believes he's not been harmed or stopped by time. You know, he hasn't been harmed by the government or anything to shut him up or any of this, because he's so important to the timeline that if they killed him, it would throw the balance off of everything and destroy the world as we know it.
Sick. Like a butterfly.
And now, it just so happens, though, that everything that he was talking about sounds a lot like the plot to the movie of the Philadelphia Experiment.
One comment and one question. Comment being, all this shit happened from him and his brother being a pansy and jumping off of a ship.
Yes.
And two, what's his brother say about all this?
That's the weird thing, is like...
Or does Bilek even have a brother?
Yeah, he's like, you can't find his brother... There's different things claiming that he actually went back in time and talked to his parents to give him a brother. These weird...
That would shift the timeline too much. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Bringing in a whole life.
Right.
That would fuck that all the way up.
He's a real guy, though, and you're picking him up.
He's a real guy, and he's got a story.
Haven't observers argued that this guy has... Doesn't he have, like, quite a bit? Like, doesn't he have an established history of psychiatric illnesses?
He's got to.
Well, he claims that everything, no one messes with him, because if they did, the timeline would be all fucked up. He's dead now. I think he died in the 90s.
That's like those martial art guys that try to use chi
to
push people away, and they fucking manipulate the minds of all their fucking people that actually go to the dojo. Have you ever seen one of those when it's like the reporter comes in and they go at him and he tries to use the chi and it doesn't fucking work?
Well, he claims that him and his brother went back in time and stopped the Philadelphia Experiment. Or, like, they shut down the machine after it was turned on.
So that's why
people don't... Like, taking axes to it and stuff like that and destroying the engines and generators and all that crap. Otherwise, it could have possibly destroyed the world, and that's why the future aliens send them, or future AI, or whatever it was, sent them back through time.
I'm done with Bilek's story.
So that's why Bilek says that we never actually, the Navy doesn't have the Philadelphia Experiment, because he stopped it.
He stopped it. Thank you, Bilek.
There was a guy, actually, who, and this is way fucking off, and I apologize. They called him the Mad Dog.
If you think this is going to be way off from what I just talked about. This guy was off.
You were talking about like Wushu Masters and stuff like that, using chi and shit like that. There was a guy called the Mad Dog. He opened up his own dojo and was challenging Grandmasters to fights and, like, completely beating the dog shit out of them.
Just annihilating them.
Completely. And there's... film all over, and the Chinese government actually put a stop to it because he was just completely disrespecting people's beliefs.
Damn.
Well, not to get too far down that rabbit hole with you, too, but I gotta say, you gotta love the movie Bloodsport, right?
Yeah.
And Frank Dukes.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah. And Frank Dukes?
Yeah.
And all the stuff that based on a true story, and how he has the record for the fastest knockout, the fastest punch. The fastest kick with knockout and all that in the Kumite.
Sure.
He has all these records and all that. And it's based on a true story and all that. It's all bullshit.
The whole story?
The whole thing's bullshit, yeah. And people believed it all through the 80s and 90s. And this guy, Frank Dukes, he actually had all these dojos and his own form of ninjutsu, like Duke Kondo or whatever the hell it was. Ducks waddling in a pond, whatever the hell it's called. And yeah, it was later. Yeah. Oh, he's full of shit. But it was like that one. I think he kept that hoax on for like 20, 30 years.
Oh, for sure. And fucking Jean-Claude Van Damme was a fucking ballerina. He took ballet. That's why he was so fucking flexible and shit.
He was a badass, though.
He was. He was.
They also said he was so bad at being an action star that when he would actually go to kick people and hit people in the movies, he couldn't hold back, and he actually hit and kicked people for real, and he fucked some people up.
Arugan!
That's why he got those stunt doubles, or yeah, the stuntman. So let's debunk this a little bit. Anybody have anything on debunking?
Other than that Alan was completely fucking nuts.
And then that Ed Dudgeon guy says that he actually served on it. And I believe it is. You can confirm that he did serve on the ship at this time. And there are ship logs and sailors that were aboard Hale Eldridge and said, yeah, like I said earlier, we were nowhere near Philadelphia when all this crap was supposedly witnessed and taken place. We were in Brooklyn, and then we were, you know, somewhere else.
South America.
Somewhere else. And the whole Ed Dudgeon thing where he says, yeah, there was experimentation, but it was on the degaussing thing where they were just wrapping wire around it, trying to keep mines from blowing them up the ships, because they were having a huge problem with, you know, the Battle of the Atlantic during World War II, where Nazi U-boats were sinking. I think they sunk like 3,500 Allied ships.
Oh, it was some ridiculous.
There's a huge number of ships, Navy ships, under the Atlantic Ocean right now from World War II. It's insane.
The couple things that I wanted to talk about debunking this is there were inland canals connecting Norfolk
and Philadelphia.
So if you were to be in Philadelphia, you didn't have to go all the way out to sea and wrap around and go to Norfolk. At that time, because of the wars, the government had shut down those canals. So it would be quick passage for the battleships.
And a Navy ship...
Is that canal wide enough for a ship of that size?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And a Navy ship could go from Norfolk to Philadelphia and back to Norfolk in the same day.
Yeah. They could be in Philadelphia, go to Norfolk in a few hours.
You got to remember, Philadelphia is right on the border of Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, maybe people witnessed... Maybe... a battleship that they were calling the Eldridge, you know, but because they know the time that it takes to go around, and you got to figure, this is 1940s, so there is no internets and fucking, you know, phone and technology and all that kind of stuff. So maybe there was a battleship that was witnessed at the same spots, but it was just a few hours.
I was almost kind of thinking for a minute, like we had talked about ghost ships and stuff, which, I mean, it has to be a very specific, I mean, the pressure's got to be right, atmosphere's got to be right, like everything has to be just right for that.
And it has to look like the Der Dutchman.
Also like the Der Dutchman.
Yeah.
Could we possibly have had some sort of reflection or light refraction maybe on the ship itself?
Well, you also get the thing, too, where people could have seen a light. Blue light, green light on the ship, too.
No, I want to talk about that.
Because it could very well have been your favorite thing in the world. Yes. Same as Elvis Fire.
Yes. So, they said that they witnessed a bluish-green type of glow around it. So, if they're, even from the ONR, they're saying, yeah, we were conducting experiments with magnetic fields. So, if you're going to conduct experiments with magnetic fields, what are you fucking with on the... quantum level. I mean, not quantum level, but like you're fucking with electrons and that kind of stuff to where you're going to change the charge. Okay. And the way that St. Elmo's Fire phenomenon works is when you have a very high concentration of a charge in the weather of like a big storm coming in. Typically, St. Elmo's fire happens when there's a huge storm rolling in. And did I already tell you about my story? Okay, so my story about St. Elmo's, I saw St. Elmo's fire. I saw St. Elmo's fire. We were driving on Highway 90 down on in Biloxi, Mississippi. And we always had big storms rolling in from the Gulf. And it was around evening time. And I looked over because I was looking at the storm. I mean, it was just huge billowing clouds. And it was like, ooh, this is going to be a good one. Well, all the shrimp boats were booking it in. And there was one lone shrimp boat way out there. And he's fucking trucking. He's trying to catch up and get away from that storm. And there was a green glow around the ship. And it's because of the static charge. And I don't know why. Maybe because of the ocean water. But the charge builds up on the actual ship because it's the tallest thing out there. And if you ever see a green glow on a ship, it's going to get hit. And sure enough, that after that green glow, crack, and it got hit with lightning. And that glow had dissipated. And it's all about that electric charge. So if these people are doing experiments with electric magnetic fields and they're charging and turning the shit on, yeah, you could have probably got a St. Elmo's fire phenomenon happening.
The other thing, too, is like a lot of people don't realize with like military ships, and well, any metal ship that's in the water is, I think it's nickel that they put on the sides of these ships, and it's sacrificial. So if you have a metal ship, steel ship, sitting in ocean water, what happens when salt water hits metal? It will rust the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they run an electrical charge through ships anyway, and they run it into these like nickel plating plates on the side of the ship.
Like a cadmium.
Yeah, and then those plates are what oxidizes. So rather than the salt water attacking the steel, it goes to the least resistance, I guess the way you could say it.
Yeah.
And that charged nickel, and it goes in there and it eats away at that. So when those get eaten up, they just replace them.
Yeah.
So they're constantly replacing those little plates on the sides of ships. So, I mean, they've already had this kind of a similar technology anyway that would be causing magnetic fields and that on ships. But the whole unified field theory also ties into quantum physics. When you're starting talking about, you know, quarks and all that kind of stuff and start going down, which we talked about in Elf Waves, our first episode.
ELFs, yeah.
Another really cool book that's out there is Astrophysics for People in a Hurry,
yeah,
by my boy Neil deGrasse Tyson, yeah, which is a great audiobook. I don't know how good of a read it is. I got it on audio and it was amazing.
But yeah,
he explains all that kind of stuff too.
Love him, by the way.
But I mean, that could go into the why, yeah, like you're saying, why you would see the St. Elmo's fire and all that, which I've never seen it, but I have heard it actually looks like, even though it's like a green glow, I've heard if you're like close enough to it or like on the ship, it actually does look kind of like fire.
Yeah.
Like flames flickering. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially, it's what the Northern Lights are.
It's almost like an aurora borealis. Yeah. Yeah.
It's what the Northern Lights are.
Yeah.
That sounds really probable that that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
With the Eldridge.
I mean, if you're hypercharging whatever kind of experiment you're trying to do with magnetic fields, you're going to be doing something to the charge,
yeah,
of the ship. So I could see it happening. Absolutely.
You also got to think, too, that the fact that you have a ship that's in the water, it's made out of steel and other kinds of alloys, and anytime you have different kind of alloys together, you're essentially making a battery.
Yeah.
And then you have the salt water as your conductor,
yeah,
instead of a battery.
Salt water is conductive.
So, I mean, I think that kind of gets rid of the whole seeing a glow kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, just like I was saying, so those are the two big debunkers that I have for that. The last debunker that I have for it is, where is more witnesses? Because when you hear the story of Ball Licker and you don't hear anybody else's story that was on the ship.
Yeah.
It just kind of goes away a little bit. Like I said in the beginning, it's a great story. Probably not. But it's a great story. I mean, Ball Licker story is awesome.
Yeah.
But no. I mean, all in all, I say debunked. I mean,
yeah. There's no way in hell it's real.
Yeah.
I believe that they were working on something. And like I said earlier, there's miscommunication or something.
Miscommunication to the public of like what they were actually invisibly trying to do.
Yeah, not even the public. Maybe like, you know, the Nazis or the Japanese or the Chinese or silent Russians intercepting. Because, I mean, we had spies everywhere. We had spies, they had spies, everyone had spies everywhere. Listening in and getting any kind of information they could. And then something leaked out or something, you know. They just, they're working on invisibility.
Right.
What, you know.
And then they just automatically go to site.
It was a game of telephone, you know.
Yeah.
And slowly, what they were working on changed.
I could see that.
The other thing, too, is...
What do you think?
That makes a lot of sense, what you said, man, with the St. Elmo's fire. I don't really think I've even actually heard of that, literally, until you explained it to me.
Oh, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. They're trying to avoid the mines from the Nazis, and they're trying to stay off radar or their U-boats, and...
And you got to remember, too, the torpedoes back then were magnetically set.
Yeah, they didn't have guidance systems.
Yeah, if you could develop something where somebody shoots a missile at you or there's a mine in the water, instead of going at you, it just pushes it away.
Did it? Were they trying to get it to repel?
No, they were just trying to make it so that the torpedoes couldn't lock onto them.
Ah.
So torpedoes and mines, because the mines were basically huge magnets.
They just floated and then...
Yeah. They would just, you know, float over towards the ship, hit the hull, and detonate.
Boom.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me, that possible St. Elmo's fire may have happened. Like you said, you're charging those electrons and changing shit up. You get the salt water that also reacts with it. And you're fucking with a ship that's over 300 feet long. You don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
Right.
Well, the other thing, too,
I heard that they ran tons and tons of wire and cable and all that kind of stuff down through the Eldridge.
Yeah. And then the other thing too is, if we had this technology, we would have used it again.
Right. Or
tried to.
Well, come on now. Why, if we had this technology, why the hell would we ever have made an F-117 bomber? Why would we ever have made a B-1? Why would we ever have made a Raptor? Which uses the stealth technology that we have nowadays with different materials to, you know, all the billions and billions we spent on that. Why would you do that?
Because that's guaranteed.
If you could already make shit invisible.
Well, back in the 40s.
Back in the 40s, yeah.
Well, right. The stuff that we have now is more guaranteed. Like, you know, when you jump in that stealth bomber, you're going to be stealth. Compared to, all right, Cletus, rig it up. You flip the switch, you end up in fucking 2024, and I'm asking everybody what football team has won every single Super Bowl up until this point, so I don't have to work at my job anymore. That's just me.
You're gonna do the...
Super Bowl time. We're going to Vegas! Yeah,
you're going to do the Back to the Future 2 when you come back with a little almanac.
Yeah!
Sports for the last 50 years.
A spiral notebook full of every major sporting event that's ever happened, all the way down to fucking water polo.
Fuck sports. I'm going stock market.
Stock? Cool. You know, I know more about sports than stocks.
I'm invested in Google. I'm invested in Apple. I'm invested... I'm investing in GameStop.
Yeah, just that two days.
I'm going back.
No tape, 2 days.
I'm going back a couple months ago.
Bitcoin.
Taking all that money, putting it in there.
Do you see what Bitcoin's at now?
No, I don't even look. It makes me sick.
53,000.
Per Bitcoin?
Yeah. But you saw it all is going down, though. It's dropping like crazy. Dogecoin and all that. Or whatever it is. Yeah, they're dropping like crazy.
Doge is the opposite. Whenever Bitcoin goes down, Doge goes up.
Well, they're saying there's some kind of thing, like, I guess they're going to start cracking down on money laundering in those currencies, so it dropped everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, some people travel through time.
Yeah, but it only dropped, like, $7,000 or something like that in a week. And we're talking about $53,000
per Bitcoin. One guy's have thousands of them.
I got buddies that are heavily involved with that stuff right now. And
so can I give you two?
I'm kind of like, damn it, I should have got on the...
Should have, could have, would have.
Should have got on the ship at the right time, but nope. I jumped off.
We decided to jump off.
I jumped off in the future. Late in the future, where I have shit. Except for radiation burns. And now I'm a bollocker.
Only on Wednesdays.
Only on Wednesdays.
So does that mean I can give you like $400 and you give it to your friends and turn it into
$4,000?
Don't tell me sure. Like.
Sure. The only problem is I might, for some reason, my $400 made money. Yours lost it.
So weird.
So weird.
So weird.
It's like giving me $400 and asking me to go to Vegas. It's like, so how am I doing? It's like, I'm doing great. You lost everything. I'm sorry.
Don't leave Mark unattended in Vegas with your money.
Don't leave Mark in Vegas.
Or with your woman. You'll end up losing both.
I don't know about that.
Nothing? You got something for it. I can see you over there. Nothing?
No, with my religious beliefs, I can't, you know.
It's not Saturday. It's fine.
That's, yeah.
All right, guys.
So what you're saying is we got to cut this short because there's a pool table and a couple pitchers of beer waiting for our asses. And,
yeah, I mean.
As much as we love doing this and talking to people, sobriety's a motherfucker.
We got to come up with our ideas somehow.
Well, yeah.
I mean, after a few and playing a few games of pool, it's like, God, check this out. Scratch what the fuck we were talking about. Let's do this.
Which we'll take a Budweiser sponsorship, by the way, too. We love Budweiser.
You guys do. Well,
do you honestly believe that 30 episodes of this perfection just pure comes out of the sky? We got to get our minds.
This is honestly why we started this.
Yeah, because we were getting drunk.
Me and Mark were sitting at the bar talking about some super fucking geeky shit about space. And I was just like, why don't we fucking drink and do this in front of a microphone and see what happens? Yeah. He's like, fuck it!
Let's do it! Fuck it! Because, well, we'd be in the back patio of the bar smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer.
And someone would come up and just be... Someone would come up like Sherry, yeah, right?
And just stare at us while we're sitting there talking about quantum physics and actually sitting there doing the math on whether or not there's Planet X or some crap like that.
I still have it in my book.
And people are just looking at us like, first of all, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? And second of all, tell me more. And you're like, well, let's go get a shot and we'll get you up to speed.
So, but hey, we're going to wrap it up, guys. We appreciate you guys always, always listening. We did have a little bit of feedback, and we are going to, I just want to kind of give you a little bit of what we did last weekend, with me and Austin, and, the pansy opposite of me didn't go.
Hey, I had to work.
That sounds like an excuse.
Hey, I did actually, I was actually working.
You were actually working. All right.
I was actually working.
At night, at 9 till 4 in the a.m.?
Not till 4 in the a.m., but I was working till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, the next episode, guys, is going to be about the Fairfield County Infirmary. Me and Austin went there. It is a very creepy place.
Yeah.
35,000 square feet, built in 1828. I think.
Yes, 1828.
1828, decommissioned in 1986, and it had all walks of life going through there, from the insane to orphans to people in the Great Depression that didn't have a home. And it is just a creepy, creepy fucking place.
And you wanted my ass to spend the night there. Which
yes.
Is
absolutely.
Yes.
Because I honestly, I want to go back. I want to see if we can talk to them, though. Maybe we get a little bit larger of a group and see if they'll let us just rent the place out. Like, maybe 6 to 8 people. That way there's only about 4 people on each floor.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. If you get that set up, I'll make sure that I'm working.
As long as you let me tag you and shit, it's fine.
But the next episode is going to be about the Fairfield County Infirmary in Ohio. It's in Lancaster. It's going to be a great one.
And then I wasn't there, I'm going to be interviewing these guys about their experience. And
getting the history of the place. Absolutely. So, tune in next time for that. And you can always reach us at theabnormalmatterspodcast@gmail.com. You can also check us out on Facebook. We have a lot of video and photos. Austin is the Facebook guy. He's posting a lot of stuff from the Fairfield County. You can check that out. And yeah, again, thanks for listening. And we'll see you soon in a couple weeks.
Thanks. I just want to say really quick, too, I definitely appreciate Ian and Mark for, you know, I came in on episode 10, and to be able to say that I'm still here for episode 30 and enjoying it the most I ever have, I appreciate you guys letting me be a part of this. And I really thank you guys for listening and the feedback. And it's great. I look forward to this every other week. I love it. Thank you guys so much.
I told myself I wouldn't do this.
Single tier.
All right, I guess that wraps it up for tonight. So we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. And yeah, this is going to be interesting figuring out how creepy as shit what you guys went through was. So
yeah,
I've heard some stories. It's going to be a good one. Tune in.
Hell yeah. All right, talk to you guys later.
Let's go to the bar.